I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my god, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.
I'm Sasha Shipway, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno. Now, it's almost 1 year since the Netball World Cup in Liverpool. So on today's podcast with Mizuno, we're going to hear from two key figures in the tournament's organisation and find out more about the planning of such a huge tournament. Jane Pearce from Pearce International tells us about arranging access for worldwide media. But first, Lindsay Impitt, the Netball World Cup event director, takes us back to the early stages of the tournament and how, even now, the event is fondly remembered.
Have you just about got over it?
I can't actually believe it's a year ago. I've been reflecting on Twitter on some of my photographs, mainly sort of from the day that we started building, and the first photos start off with the venue with some lines marked out and a few wires hanging down, and eventually we'll get to a whole spectrum of purple when we get to the courts being down in a few days' time. So it's been very interesting for me to look back. And one of my colleagues has organised for a few of us to get together for a Zoom call on the evening of the 12th of July. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Socially distant, that's good to see. And I bet even with those three pictures per day at the minute you've been posting, there would have been thousands of others that you could have shared.
Absolutely. It's difficult to pick. Easier at the moment with the first few days. But when we get into, you know, rehearsals for ceremonies and actually the matches themselves, it's going to be really difficult. We'll have to do multiple tweets per day as we get closer to the day of the event a year ago.
If we go back, it was around about January 2018 that everything was still announced, and there was that big announcement
at St George's Hall. Yes, yeah. So we held our launch in January of 2018. Goodness, that seems a long time ago. I started working on the project in May 2015, so I was a full four and a bit years out, working right from the very beginning of doing sort of 3 to 4 days a month just to get the project going all the way through to delivering it. It was an amazing experience. It is actually, for me, the best event I've ever worked on, and I'm very, very proud of it even today.
Even at the event at St George's Hall as well, trying to get that netball court in must have been a bit of a challenge, and it was just that passion from there, from everybody, from you, from Lindsay, and having Liverpool Council there as well, it was a sense that something and the momentum was already building.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the team that we had to deliver that event and put the court down and all of those things compared to the team that we had at the event, I think there was maybe 4 or 5 of us trying to do everything for that launch. And that really kind of, that's where the culture of the team came from, is that every single person who was involved in delivering that event just gave their all, gave everything to making it the best event they could. And from that, coming from the staff, that reflected all the way down to all of the volunteers. And I think because we had that culture, and because it was netball, and netball has an amazing culture as it is, that just reflected through every single match, every single day, every single experience. And, you know, I'm not just reflecting on my sport experience of the matches and the sport, I'm reflecting on my experience of the relationships that were built, but, you know, the happy, smiling faces that I saw everywhere I looked. So I have some incredibly fond memories.
And maybe not just from your point, but Liverpool Council as well, absolutely outstanding job.
Their support was amazing, both from the council's perspective with everything they did out on the fan park and the opening ceremony, and then the support that we received from the venue. You know, when we needed to work late into the night, they were there supporting us and making sure that we had what we needed. So absolutely, I think we couldn't have asked for a more supportive partner than we had in Liverpool.
Well, maybe just hinted on it earlier, but how soon did you actually get into the arena? Was it a week before?
No, so it was the 3rd of July was our first official day. We had a couple of days where we had to do some pretty technical stuff up in... pretty technical stuff. That's because I have other people to do the technical for me. Pretty technical stuff up into the roof to make sure that all of our lighting, sound, screens, etc., were all up there. And Red Sky at Night, our sport presentation provider, did an outstanding job for us in getting that ready. But yeah, from the 3rd of July, so what, 9 days prior to the event itself, we were in there. But me and my team were actually up there from the last weekend in June. So I think it was the 30th of June, because we had our volunteer training. So we did 4 sessions of that. And we were up there from then onwards to the event happening. So we lived for about a month up in Liverpool.
Was it easy to sleep leading into it? Or were you waking up in the middle of the night thinking, all right, I've got to do that, and scribbling it down on a post-it?
That's a great question. I mean, I think I got to the point where I knew that if I didn't sleep, I wouldn't be in any fit state to do the work that I needed to do the next day. And we were so exhausted by that point that it was crashing out. But absolutely, having a notepad next to the bed, being able to write something down, forget about it until then waking up in the morning was very helpful. And I think at the event itself, we were in accommodation just across the way from the arena, and we were all in it together. So where we needed support from other people, they were all there for us and we were there for them. So it was just an incredible team and community spirit.
You maybe wouldn't see that major events like football World Cups even as well, because there would be very little chance that you'd end up staying in the same hotel as the players.
Definitely for the spectators, but you know, I have many, many incredible memories, but some of my favourite memories is being out on the piazza and just walking through and seeing Zambia and Uganda and their supporters dancing. The music that was out there just was the most incredible sight to be seen, and how much people enjoyed being around Liverpool and being around the event as much as they enjoyed watching the sport, which was, you know, a really great tick box for us. We were really proud of that.
You had people like Anna and Ian, and maybe give some of your other team quick mention here.
Goodness me, there's so many of them.
I know, I've seen the last page of the official programme.
Anna, Ian and Jane were the heads of department on this event, but we were supported by a fantastic team. Kate and Abby in operations, Jenny and then Laura who was supporting Ian. But it wasn't just about that key paid team. There were representatives from England Netball who came up. There were volunteers that gave up pretty much 2 weeks of their life just to be in Liverpool for netball, and I can't name them all, but I couldn't thank them enough for the amount of hours that they did and the amount of work that they did, but just with a fantastic smile on their face. So I really think that emanated through everything that we did, which was brilliant.
And every single one of them as well, even the pivoters, they'll have their own special stories that will just be with them forever. That's a thing. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. I think it all came together. It was just like a magical moment, a magical 10, 11 days where, you know, I had worried. I'm an events person, and I think it helps to worry being an events person, because you tickle the boxes and make everything right as best you can. And I'd worried about what was going to happen, how it was going to go. And it just seemed to all come together in a really magical way. And I think one of my resounding memories, I must have a whole
book full. A book full? There's an idea.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing that really resonated with me was that on Saturday afternoon, so the semi-final, when England lost the match, there was definitely, that was the first time that I felt a bit of a drop in the kind of feeling, in the atmosphere. But that didn't last. And the next day, we came in and the atmosphere was brilliant again. People had kind of dealt with England not making the final, but were there. They were supporting every team that competed. And that showed that the tournament was not just based on the success of the home team. It was based on the fact that the supporters wanted everybody to perform to their best. And that's not something you can bottle. That's just an amazing thing about the netball community.
And we saw the fact that, naturally, England tickets had gone like that, and maybe the same for Scotland, Northern Ireland as well. But overall, tickets maybe excelled what you were expecting?
Tickets, we definitely sold more than we were expecting. So I've told this story before, where on the wall of the office at England Netball, there was an image that had a target at that point. So this was 2017 a target of 60,000 tickets, and we sold 112,000. And I think that really showed that people weren't just there to support England, they were there to support every team. They were there to support netball. They loved the sport and they wanted to see it at its very best. And you know, we were aiming for 40% capacity of everything minimum, and we exceeded that on Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. So like midweek, you know, we don't expect those to sell out, and they still sold well, and it was still a fantastic atmosphere. So that's something again that we were just very, very proud of, that we were fully supported, not just by the netball community, but by people who love and adore sport.
More now from Lindsay Impitt, the event director of the Netball World Cup. She told us more about the logistics of dealing with the crowds that attended.
Definitely the fact that we did it in two sessions, so get it sort of the in and the out between the sessions was quite challenging, particularly because the M&S Bank Arena is a concert venue, so they don't tend to have that movement between sessions. But because of the weather and because of also our support from the venue itself, opening up the piazza and allowing that pass out meant that was managed a lot more smoothly. And I think that just reflected our really great relationship with the venue and how supportive the venue were at making the event work.
It was a proper tournament atmosphere.
Well, it was the city, you know, the city had come alive, and it wasn't just the fan park. It was, you know, the hotels that didn't even have teams staying in them. They really engaged with us because they wanted to reflect that this was a sport and an event that was coming to Liverpool, not just coming to the M&S Bank Arena or, you know, the Riverside. The whole city got engaged with it, which was incredible.
What was it like day to day for you? Very different or?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who works in events and big events has rose-tinted glasses. And with a year past, I think mine are quite rosy now, so I'm remembering all the good bits. But, you know, without a doubt, there's always challenges. You're taking something to a venue that where it's never held a World Cup of netball before. So day in, day out, even though we'd planned it to a T, so to speak, there were still things that were unexpected. There were, you know, changes of direction of movements around the venue, or things that didn't quite look right, or things that had to be changed. So I think the first, from like sort of the 3rd of July when we were building, every day there were new things and new challenges, and there were challenges that we could plan for. So Jane Bound did an absolutely exceptional job of the turnaround between the matches. But because either Jane or I were the responsible party to be in the venue, because she had done the overnight, I came in at 4:30 and then finished at 10 p.m. So even though you've done all the planning, you still know that there are those challenges that you need to manage while you're there. But I mean, I could not talk highly enough about the team of people who delivered this event, who literally put their heart and soul into making it the best they possibly could. And I couldn't have done it without them, and we did it together. And at the end of the day, my job was to make sure that they could do the best job that they could do, and they did that.
Did you get to see much of the final?
I actually did. I saw the second half of the final. I'm trying to remember what matches I actually did get to see. I saw a little bit of the sport relief match. I saw half of the final. And then generally, I was just doing laps. I was either doing laps or I was in the control room. So I kind of glanced at some good bits. One day I'll sit and watch, you know, 120 hours of netball from start to finish, but I still haven't quite brought myself to do that yet. I'm still living in my own memories in my head of it.
How about individual gifts, souvenirs from the teams?
I did actually get given a T-shirt signed by the New Zealand team, which I'm keeping very precious and
wow.
close to my heart, that one. So that was wonderful, and that was really just because I had sorted something out for them. But really, I guess the things that I have as my memories are my photographs, rather than necessarily particularly bits of the tournament. I have a photo that I can see from where I'm sat right now, and it's my photo of the team, and we stood in the middle of the court on the Saturday night and had a team photograph, and that is very, very precious to me.
Unlike the one that we, I think, saw on Twitter where you were just utterly shattered and fast asleep in your chair.
I think that must have been about 8 p.m. on that Wednesday night, where I was resting my eyes because I'd been up since 4 a.m. and not had my
Well, the media team have some Cadbury's merchandise to thank New Zealand. So, yeah, I've got a picture of that nearby me as well. And finally, obviously, you're on, but what have you learned as a person?
I've learned as a person that I can survive without too much sleep. No, I'm currently working for an international federation, so I'm doing some work for World Lacrosse, which is the lacrosse equivalent of the International Netball Federation. And it's very interesting to be on that side of the fence. I think I'm quite lucky at the moment because I'm in a federation rather than delivering events which aren't obviously happening right now. And I'm learning about, I guess, the different challenges that an international federation faces as opposed to a national governing body or an event organiser. So that's certainly interesting. But I have just joined the board of Netball Europe because I was missing my netball and I wanted to get involved. So I'm very excited to be starting that journey with the Netball Europe team.
In that case, Sen, no doubt we'll speak soon. But in the meantime, Lindsay, thank you to you and your team for everything that happened last year.
No problem at all. Thank you for allowing me to indulge in some of my memories, Andy. That was wonderful.
Life can be a bit of a handful.
But what do you do?
Let go?
Or grab on to everything it has to offer?
Ask yourself, do you back down when things get tough?
Or confront them, breasts on?
Do you give up or give it hell?
Do you ignore your amazing boobs or fearlessly check them regularly?
We thought so.
This is Grabbin' Life by the Boobs.
So grab regularly and check out any changes.
It could save your life.
Search Copperfeel. Grab life.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
Jane Pierce is Pierce International, specialise in media operations and provided media support during the tournament and no doubt made sure that all the journalists had fresh supplies of Jaffers and water. Jane has been speaking to us about the Netball World Cup compared to other tournaments that she has been involved in and the impact that COVID has had on her business over the last few months, with many sporting events being cancelled.
Thank you for having me. What a delight to talk about the Netball World Cup again. What a great event and what a great summer. I think, you know, it was a moment in time for women's sport with FIFA Women's World Cup and the cricket, and netball was just fantastic. It was a great, great event.
Your vast experience in major sport event management, take us back. How did you see it advertised and obviously achieve the contract, as it were?
Yes, well, you know, I was responsible for media operations. But operations is quite a specific little piece. So there was a tender to look after the media operations piece. And I'm a netball player. I've played netball myself for over 45 years. And have worked in the industry of media operations at major sports events for over 34 years now. So I thought, gosh, I really want to do this. It's my sport, as it were, and I love working on major events. So I put in a tender and got the business and then joined the great team that Lindsay put together.
Lindsay was saying about that team a little bit earlier, but tell us a bit about the process of that organisation from having achieved that contract, as it were, to going in pre-tournament. A fair amount of work, to say the least.
Oh, an awful lot. You know, and you know, Lindsay put together a good team, and then I was working for Anna Flanders, who put together a great operation in terms of looking after all the media needs. On the operational side, I was starting from the sort of December, January before, informally, and then really started in earnest on the February, I seem to recall. The first thing is to do is sort out accreditations, as you know, Andy, and we wanted to make it a really smooth process. We were there to make sure the media could work in a great environment, but also not necessarily overcomplicate things. So we really tried to make a nice, straightforward accreditation process, working with the Sports Journalists Association to make sure that only bona fide media were allowed in. We'd rather have fewer media working properly than lots of media who perhaps weren't bona fide media. And we had in the end over 200 applications from 10 countries, which was, you know, a great showing for a Netball World Cup. And so that was the main work beforehand, and also planning the facilities, because we budget's important, and we didn't want to, you know, we didn't have a huge budget. And equally, you know, in this day and age, over-resourcing is quite honestly as bad as under-resourcing. We wanted to try and get it right. And so we put a lot of planning into the how many tables we had for the media to watch, the media centre, and the so-called mix zone. And I think we did a good job. You know, we certainly had good response from the media. But that was our work on the operational side beforehand, was accreditation and then planning all the facilities to make sure we could welcome the media during the event.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd give you 10 out of 10 on that, so don't worry about that.
we got a nice reply. Thank you very much. We got reply from the media corps afterwards.
It was simple things as well. Maybe not simple things, that may be the wrong word, but staging briefings per role for people that were there. So the journalists had one, the photographers had one, and each team would have had their own media there as well. So it'd be about taking each need in turn and just ensuring that, from your point at least, they were well briefed.
Yes, what I wanted to do, Andy, was bring, to be honest with you, the level of organisation that I've seen at FIFA events. I've been lucky enough to work on the FIFA World Cup. Obviously a much bigger scale,
yeah.
But in terms of and Olympics, but on a team sport comparison, I just wanted to bring that level of professionalism so that we had ticketing process in place, a selection process in place, because of course when Jamaica play, the Jamaican photographer would need the prime position on the court. Equally, when England was playing, the English photographers. And we just tried to bring that level of professionalism, and the right people were sitting on the tabled positions when their team was playing. And so, yes, we did put a lot of emphasis on that, and also briefing photographers and non-rights holders. We had a very flexible but professional approach to non-rights holders. The coverage that non-rights holders give to an event is immense. It drives traffic to the rights holders. So we made sure that they had an opportunity to speak to players in the mix zone after the games. So we did brief people, and the attendance was great at that, and I think it showed in the end that we didn't have any major clashes at all. In fact, my only disappointment, I was thinking about this before I spoke to you, Andy, the only disappointment was we couldn't quite get that netball match between the Northern and the Southern Hemisphere media off the ground, because there were so many stories to write. When we picked the time and we had the umpires ready, we had the court, we couldn't quite pull it off because there were just so many great stories, and media couldn't take the time off to play the game in the end.
It was still very much a bubble, and I look back on my time there and I'm watching the repeats and naturally just getting a little bit tearful, if I've got to be honest. What about the kind of numbers that you managed to accommodate during it?
Well, we, as I say, we were really pleased with the number of applications and the people who actually showed in the end, as I say, from 10 countries. And we had, you know, the dailies in Britain represented. We had some great professional sports photographers covering it. And I remember Press Association photographers telling me, gosh, I hadn't realised it was so fast. He was, he is a great sports photographer, hadn't covered netball before, and just hadn't realised how fast it was. So that, I felt immense pride at that, being a netball player myself. But I think the sport opened a lot of eyes, and we had a great range of people. We had the freelancers, of course. We had specialist websites and blogs, which is normal in a sport like netball that perhaps doesn't normally get mainstream coverage. We had magazines, online media, as I say, but we also had representation from international agencies and the countries playing. So a great range of media who I think, to a man and woman, were very impressed with the level of sport they saw.
People who just naturally saw it on TV maybe weren't aware of the little things you did in a sense of those interview pods. How well were they appreciated? And obviously they won't know what they were, so what was the thinking behind those?
Yes, well, traditionally, certainly when I started my career 30-odd years ago,
the tradition was to have a press conference after a match. And to be honest with you, they're a little bit last century. You know, you have people sitting on the top table with a microphone and people sitting facing them. It's very stilted, it feels very last century. So Lindsay was very, very open to this sort of innovation, as was Anna. We proposed and went through with basically abolishing press conferences and having what we called iZones. And this was really more in keeping with how the media works these days and how people communicate. What it was after the breathy mixed zone, which is when competitors, players, athletes first have that first reaction, they're out of breath, they're still sweaty, that obviously was still there. But then we had a few pods, for want of a better word, with some comfortable chairs where people could request a player and they could have a sit down, have a chat, more informal, and get maybe more of an in-depth discussion after the game. We had very, very few refusals from players. And to be honest with you, I think it was only when there was an injury. I don't think there was anybody refusing to do it because they didn't want to talk. And the media really appreciated it. And we had dozens and dozens of those sorts of interviews after the game. And it lends to better quotes, lends to better stories. And I'm of the opinion that when players and competitors speak to the media, they're not only doing their duty and doing their media duty, but they're speaking to the fans. That's how the fans find out about the sport. And they're interested in their thoughts, how they train, what they do. And so it was another vehicle to get good stories out into the media. And the players responded very, very well. And we're very pleased with it.
We haven't spoken for a while, but I do need to confess. Did the pivoter tell you the news that I'd nipped into one and had a word with Jenny without letting her know first?
She did, and just said that you confessed. But you didn't push anybody out. So well behaved as always. You didn't push anybody out. That was the main thing. We needed to keep some decorum in the press room.
There was nobody else there. That's good. I mean, those mix zones were fun at the best of times, but a lot of the time there, the team in there was Nikki, Judith, Polly and Amy. Was that the core team down there?
Yes, that's right. And they were working very hard, and they were the ones that brought the players to the what we call the immediate flash quotes for TV on the pitch, and then brought them through and encouraged them to stop for the waiting media. Broadcasters first, and rights holding radio, and then the press, and then, as I said earlier, a little bit at the end for the non-rights holders.
Very entertaining process, but it did get a bit mad down there, to say the least.
But I have to say, for the mixed zone, I've never seen in over 30 years one lady who was strapped up, was being pushed through in a wheelchair to go to medical, and insisted that she stop in the mixed zone because she wanted to do her duty.
Yeah.
I broke my own rule and took a picture, because obviously we're not taking pictures, we're working. I've never seen that in all the sports I've worked on. She was so determined to... She knew somebody was waiting to talk to her. A Jamaican player. A fantastic, fantastic dedication, really. A real shout-out to netball players.
I think by the semis as well, we were all grateful for finally getting some Red Bull in the fridges, because up until then, we'd only had canned water. Canned water? I mean, what's that about?
And Jaffa oranges.
I know. Dissing the Jaffa oranges, but, yeah, felt like an athlete leading up until then.
Never been so healthy.
And we all appreciated the little gift from Cadbury as well. That dairy milk went down well.
Yes, that's right. It was a nice press room. We turned what could have been a dark room into, I think, a nice home for the journalists for those few days. And I think people appreciated the little touches.
Did you get to watch much of the games, or was it all afterwards?
Not really. I think in the position we're in, firstly, I think it's not appropriate to be fans in our position.
Yeah.
As I say, this is the first time I've worked in, if I can say, my sport, because I do play netball. So no, and to be honest with you, if I was up there just checking that we didn't have any spectators who'd crept into the media seats, or that everything was running smoothly, I didn't hang around. And if you do look, you're checking if photographers are sitting on the benches. You're not really checking
how good the shot was or what the score is. So no, and that's been the same in my track and field career. There's been so many world records when I've been under the bowels of the stadium trying to fix a phone or something. So tends to be afterwards.
Have you seen any of the repeats? And are you watching the game or are you watching the pivoters and saying, oh, well, they shouldn't be there, they should be over there sorting out so-and-so?
My eyes tend to wander, to be honest. Just like I'm sure people working in the theatre are checking that the scaffolding isn't falling down or the scenery. It's funny when you're watching it. Even when I'm watching football, I tend to look, see if the photographers are on the benches and the cameras aren't hanging over the boards. It's a bit of an illness I think you get when you work in the business on this side of the fence.
Lindsay said that she has a signed New Zealand t-shirt which she treasures. Did you get anything specific as a memento as part of it, or just those memories?
No, to be honest, I had some lovely emails from media and from pivoteers that I have in my event scrapbook. That's what I have.
And when you get that kind of feedback, you naturally feel that's job well done.
Yes, I love it. I really like the working with the volunteers, pivoteers, as you say, we call them. I've really enjoyed that. I enjoy the training, I enjoy the briefing, and I enjoy seeing people, many of whom I've worked with over the years, have started as volunteers and have eventually sought and found careers in the business. So I enjoy that because it sounds corny, but one person can't do this. There's too many. Just in media, we have, you know, four or five spaces running at the same time. It has to be, you know, you have to delegate and have people who are all briefed to run it successfully, because if any one person holds all the knowledge, it doesn't work. And I love that feeling of team that you get in when you do media operations. It's my favourite bit, actually.
Yeah, hugely satisfying to be a part of it. As part of COVID, how has it really affected you on a non-netball level with the rest of the business?
Yes, well, obviously, personally, netball, I've just had an email from the girls this morning. We're not looking at resuming for quite a while yet, so not playing side, so it's been jogging for me. Mm. And on the professional side, we're very lucky because obviously all the live events this year have been postponed, so next year will be very busy. We were working on the Invictus Games and the Olympics, of course, and I was going to run the media operation at Wembley for Euros, so they're all postponed until next year. But we're very fortunate in that we are working on some future events in the planning phase, so Commonwealth Games and Paris, for example, so that can be done from home. Just means that there hasn't been the travel there, which is somewhat of a relief, to be honest.
Yeah,
a bit of a slower pace of life, but we're still working. But all the live events are now concertinas into next year, as is the case for many in the industry, I think.
Really good to speak to you.
Thank you very much, Andy. Thank you.
This can only mean one thing. We are ready to announce that starting the 12th of July, which is this Sunday, we'll be rewinding a year to the date and providing you with another chance to hear our Netball World Cup podcasts. Remember, we were the only UK podcast providing daily podcasts, and you might have even missed them first time round. So we'll have reaction from around the arena, interviews with players and coaches, and no doubt Andy will try to shoehorn his interview with Jamie Lee Price in there too. Our daily rewinds from the Netball World Cup, tidier bite-size edits, I think Andy is calling these, will appear daily on this feed, and you don't need to do anything to get them. And your memories are always welcome anytime. We'll retweet the best ones with pictures and everything else wonderful about the Netball World Cup. We're online at The Netball Show.
I've been doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you to The Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.